welcome to another Forgotten Fantasy podcast. So today we're going to continue our journey through the land of
Menendez. Yes.
Yeah.
It means safe haven, in case anyone's interested.
And we're going to continue with Chapter 2 of Emperor Blood. I hope you enjoy.
Chapter 2. The shuttle taxied to a stop on the military runway. Tanchi walked to the plane's door. He paused at the top of the shuttle stairs, as always, to allow the waiting crowd a first good look at him. Tanchi looked down at the tarmac. A dust devil twirled over the empty asphalt and around the corner of the low cement building that guarded the entrance into one of the military's underground fortresses. Behind the shuttle, he could hear people shouting, trucks grumbling about on unknown errands, and the sudden roar of a fighter plane taking off. Was it only 5 weeks ago that cheering crowds and a red carpet greeted Kokue and him in the southern city of Orleans? The damp tropical breeze of an approaching storm threw his tangled hair into his face and blew open the blanket around his shoulders, revealing his torn, blood-darkened shroud to the two soldiers who waited at attention at the bottom of the stairs. They had seen it all on the human ship. They did not kowtow. Tanchi heard Yorba and Anherid step up behind him. The two soldiers saluted. "You're ahead of yourself. Let us by," Yorba said. He placed a hand on Tanchi's shoulder. Tanchi flinched. No one touched the Kuang without his permission. He pulled the blanket, a sad imitation of an imperial cape, tight around his body, moved to one side and watched them descend the stairs. Yorba beckoned to him. Tanchi clung onto the stair rail to avoid tumbling over the manacles that restricted his feet and plodded down to new guards who protected the world from him, not him from the world. Not hard for them to do a better job than his previous guards. The soldiers shuffled him into the building, along a bright tunnel, and into an elevator. The door swished shut. Too small and close, Tanchi remembered the never-ending black of his last prison and found it hard to breathe. He needed to feed on another human. The doors of the elevator opened onto a vestibule in front of a door painted with the crest of the Curran. Paladin Yorba and Anherid stepped out. The guard stepped forward. Tanchi stayed put, his face defiant. "Come along," Yorba said. "No," Tanchi said. "You don't have a choice." "You murderers," Tanchi shouted. "You traitor of a paladin. Do you think we've forgotten that you were born Clan Nu? As is your son. Or have you forgotten that you once married into Clan Nu? We'll find the son before we go any further with you. Hear my death poem. You who made our blood burn. Our blood burn in your throats. Our blood burn in the throats of all your descendants. Cursed are the day we burn." Tossing off the blanket, Tanchi threw himself at the elevator up button with no plan. No idea how he could escape in chains. The guards grabbed his arms before the doors closed. He struggled against them, snarling and biting as they dragged him into the vestibule. Tanchi ripped his fangs across a forearm. The guard yelped. The soldiers threw him onto the floor and held him down. "Good to see some spirit from you." "I was getting worried." "Great curse, a classic," Yorba said. Tanchi hissed at him. "Stop it. We're not burying you awake. You're going the way of many criminals. Induction into the army." Tanchi stopped struggling, suddenly overwhelmed with fatigue and depression. He craved the human blood, that wonderful feeling of rightness, of well-being. Guilt nudged at him. He angrily suppressed it. "We're not the criminal," Tanchi said. "We're punished while those who wronged us, those who murdered the Zhaohuan, go free." "Do you promise to behave if I let you stand?" Yorba asked. Tanchi nodded and the soldiers led him up. He glared at Yorba. Yorba crossed his arms and stared back, the first time they had ever met eye to eye. Yorba's stare did not waver. "You're not a criminal to us," Yorba said. "But tell me, at this moment, what's your heart's desire? The truth, not what you want to say." Tanchi sighed and licked his lips. He glanced away. "Should we let you go free then?" Yorba asked. Tanchi's smile widened into a gargoyle smirk. "Yes." Yorba frowned. Tanchi's grin died. "No." "Take comfort in the fact that right now we all feel inclined to feed on you," Yorba said, more amusement in his voice. "Particularly, I expect, Lieutenant Nu, whose arm you bit." "Serves that Nu right," Tanchi said. Lieutenant Nu gave a soft hiss. Tanchi bared his fangs. "Enough," Yorba said. "It's time we fed on animals like the rest of Menendez. For soldiers, regular feeds are crucial. Once you take the blood, you can't go back, and Herod said. And I don't mean the little nips between lovers or the sip for loyalty. I mean feeding until the end. The vestibule door opened to Yorba's present youthful pair, Kiko, and an older woman with upswept white hair, Princess Mitsu, Yorba's ex-wife and Herod's mother. The two soldiers knelt before the princess, the head of Clan Kurin. Kiko's kimono rustled as she lowered herself to kowtow before Tanchi. Mitsu lay a hand on her shoulder and Kiko straightened. Welcome to my home. I greet you. Kiko paused, unsure of the proper form of address. I greet you, Tanchi, Mitsu said smoothly. I greet you, Tanchi. Kiko reddened and stared at the floor. Not his clan name of Rashant, not even a mister. He had fallen lower than a servant. We greet our people, Tanchi salaamed. Princess Mitsu and Lady Kiko of Clan Kurin. He knew the proper address, even if others refused. I'm sorry for your troubles. Mitsu let them into a small hall. Yorba and the soldiers removed their sandals, slipped on paper house slippers, and moved into a comfortable room of large pillows and low tables. Tanchi glanced at his dirty bare feet, the remaining slippers, then at a servant. Instead of placing the slippers on his feet, she bowed her head and turned away, moving into another room. Tanchi stood alone by the door. My lover, I feel uncomfortable having a guest in chains in our home, Kiko said to Yorba. It doesn't seem hospitable, and though it's rude of me to mention, it looks as if he should freshen up before we feed and have coffee, don't you think? Yorba gave her an indulgent smile and turned to Tanchi. Will you respect my pair's hospitality? Tanchi nodded. A guard removed the manacles. We have a private's uniform for you. We demand seppuku, Tanchi said. It's our right. No, Yorba said. Abbasis Lashesis says you're important. Until recently, we thought so too, Tanchi said. The old seer had told him his life was about to change. He had thought she meant the birth of his child. I owe your grandfather, Yorba said, for not seeing this coming. You're athletic. You've always had an interest in the military. We need computer talents. I'm not saying it won't be hard, but I suspect you'll like it. Tanchi shrugged. He had no choice. And Hera guided him to a washroom that contained a small tub, a toilet and sink. She closed the door behind him. Tanchi sat down on a stool and waited for a servant. Time passed. No one appeared. He sighed. Hero had looked after him since his nanny. Hero was dead. Everyone was dead, and Kukia taken from him. He leaned against the sink, buried his head in his arms, and sobbed. Someone knocked at the door. Tanchi patted his face dry with a towel. Mustn't seem weak. Are you all right? And Herod asked through the door. Tanchi opened it. She looked shocked. You haven't cleaned yourself up. No servant came, Tanchi said. And Herod looked puzzled. He frowned. To look after us, he swallowed hard. Hero's dead. A light dawned in her eyes. You do know how to dress yourself. No one dresses you in the army. Even father dresses himself. Tanchi had never thought about it before. Hero looked after him. And Herod rolled her eyes. You don't, do you? She said. No. He glanced at the tub. Somehow she made him feel ashamed. He refused to mention that Hero washed and dried him, shaved him, dressed his hair, had washed him. Tanchi blinked back the tears. He wouldn't let her see him cry. And Heron snorted. She strode up to the taps and twisted them on. Water sprayed into the tub. Make sure the water doesn't go over the floor. She left. The bathroom door banged closed behind her. Tanchi put his hand in the tub. It seemed a little cold, but he dare not fiddle with the knobs. He struggled out of the shroud. The dried blood stuck material to his chest, and he gasped with pain when he tore it loose. The robe fell at his feet. The bows on the sides of his loincloth filled him with despair. He left them and struggled through a few excruciating moments as he pulled the cloth down and off. He found a washcloth and tried to remember how Hero washed him. Tanchi rubbed the soap over the dry cloth, then remembered that Hero wetted it. He stepped into the tub and sat down. The blood washed away as he rubbed himself. Only a fading scar remained of his laser burn, unusually fast healing. Tanchi created lather with the soap, rubbed it through his tangled hair, then splashed water over his head. He stood up and stepped out onto the floor, creating puddles at his feet. Tanchi patted himself dry with a towel. He felt damp when finished. His hair hung tangled and dripping down his back. He gave up even thinking how to brush and dress it. He held the towel around himself, wondering how Hiro used to tuck it so it wouldn't fall off. Tanchi knocked on the door. It opened to Lieutenant Nu. The soldier sneered and called across the outer room. "Colonel, come here." And Harrod appeared and glanced at Tanchi's head. "You've got suds in there. Haven't you ever washed your hair, either?" Tanchi scowled at her. "I'll see to you. It'll need the scissors. Your hair must be cut anyway. Kneel by the tub. You don't have to get back in." She rubbed in a different lotion, then rinsed his hair, none too gently. Tanchi spent the time clutching his towel, afraid it would fall and humiliate him further. The scissors snipped, and he felt his hair sliding down his back to the floor. She combed out the tangles, pulled up his new shoulder-length hair, and braided it into the military queue. "Always braid wet," she said. "That's the trick." Tanchi snorted. "You assume we know how to braid." He had never felt so incompetent in his life. And Harrod brushed the hair strands off his back. "Any recruit not Curran has trouble with the queue." "How many know how to dress themselves?" Tanchi asked. And Harrod patted his shoulder. "Sit down on the toilet. I'll show you how to put on your clothes. Notice how it's loosed. The silver, black, and white splashes are camouflage. This uniform's called fatigues. You have to figure out how to put on the white dress uniform yourself." She noticed him staring at the plain white circle designated shunning that was sewn on the breast of the shirt and gave him a sudden sympathetic smile. "We don't need your pity," Tanchi said. "I'm not giving it." And Harrod held up the various pieces and explained, turning round while he put first one leg, then the other, into the pants and pulled them up. He matched all the buttons and holes in the shirt. The belt buckle took a few fumbles, and Harrod pointed out the proper crisscross over the foot of the outdoor sandals. He shuffled into the house slippers. She watched him shave after mining how it was done. He nicked himself a few times. The scratches disappeared. "You healed fast," and Harrod said. "We think it's the human blood," Tanchi said. "Interesting," and Harrod said. "Soldiers heal fast." She raised an eyebrow, "though not that fast. Let's see how you look. Stand at attention. I know you can do that." Tanchi straightened. "Oh, your nails. They can't be painted black and grown long like that. Soldiers wear them short and file to a point." She removed the lacquer and chipped away the last remnants of his imperial status. "You look acceptable, Private Pain on Shura." Tanchi stared at her. "You're shunned, dead to the world, without a clan. You're no longer Vershant. It's too dangerous for you to keep your personal name." Tanchi shrugged. "What does it matter? Clan Nu has won the Kuon name game." He frowned at her look of pity. They walked into the living area where a coffee pot and cups waited beside a sitting Kiko. The two soldiers lay stretched out over the pillows, drinking wine and chatting to her. Yorba and Mitsu had vanished. The guards plunked down their glasses and jumped to attention. "As you were," and Harrod said. They remained standing. Kiku rose and gestured to the coffee. "You know how to make a soldier, Colonel," Lieutenant Curran said, with a nod at Tanchi. "Watch your mouth, Lieutenant Curran," and Harrod said. He smirked. "Oss, you know I do, especially when I'm alone with you." And Harrod smirked back. Kiko laughed. Tanchi scowled. Forget the fact that the world no longer revolved around him. They acted as if he had no feelings. Kiko poured coffee into small porcelain cups. A coffee ceremony. Tanchi tensed. As Kuong, he was always served first. No more. Tanchi steeled himself. Shunned, he faced his first public humiliation. No one would serve him. He would stand alone without coffee while everyone chatted and ignored. Of course he had no feelings. He didn't exist. Tanchi straightened, formed his features into his impassive ruler face, and stared over their heads at a sketch of a spray of blossoms with a yellow blood fruit hanging from a branch. He would meditate on it. They pretended he didn't exist. He would pretend the room was empty. Kiko picked up a cup and handed it to Anherod, now the one with the highest status, with a bow. And Harrod bowed back, then raised the cup to the heavens. "We honor you, Lord Doragon," she said, and took a sip. Lieutenant Curran took a cup, bowed, and served Kiko. Lieutenant Nu served Curran. They waited, holding their cups. Nu snorted. Finally, Anherod held out a cup to Tanchi. "We don't shun our own." Tanchi took the cup, bowed to Lieutenant Nu, and gave him the cup. And Harrod served Tanchi. They both bowed. Everyone took a sip of coffee. The servant wheeled in a cage full of leashed chimpanzees. Kiko opened it for each person to take an animal of their choice. Tanchi grabbed a brown chimpanzee and plunged his fangs into its throat, forgetting to hypnotize it, so great was his need to drain it of blood. It took several more animals before he felt satisfied. Tanchi sighed as he placed the last body into the recycle bin. The hunger was gone, at least for a little while. And Herod said, "Father and mother are attending the imperial funeral. I have permission for us to watch it." Kiko walked over to the wall and flicked on a large screen. The outside of the temple to the great goddess Menendek appeared. Thick crowds packed the sides of the road in front of the stairs to the entrance. The small group spread out on the pillows. Tanchi remained standing, unable to tear his eyes away from the three people, each carrying an urn up the stairs. His mother carried his father's urn, a task that belonged to Tanchi. His younger brother Andre, in a kimono of mourning white instead of his usual flamboyant style, carried grandfather's urn. His sister Kay carried grandmama's ashes. "Sit down," and Herod said. She patted the pillow beside her. Tanchi sat as if a robot. The camera switched to inside the temple. The standing people kowtowed as the urns, raised high, moved through the crowd to the front of the temple. Andre, Kay, and Moma placed them on the altar before the goddess, who stood with her scrolls of justice in one hand and scales of the law in the other, sacrifices for defending her rule. The urn bearers knelt before the goddess, bowed their heads, and held up praying hands in supplication. After a few moments, the view changed to the kowtowing people. Murasaki rose with Maru beside her, then everyone stood. Tanchi wondered how the family could stand being in the same place as Murasaki. Maru fidgeted, even at 8 years old, unable to stand still. He looked well, if bored, at this long ceremony. As Kuang, he would have many of them. Murasaki placed a hand on the boy's shoulder to stop him. Political cartoons had shown Tanchi as a puppet. What would they do to Maru? Always the baby Kuang in his mama's arms, assuming the press remained free. Tanchi thought of Hiro and hoped the family had attended his funeral. If only he could send a message telling Hiro's wife, Yuki, how badly he felt. The camera showed Paladin Yorba, Princess Mitsu, and the army officers lined up at the back of the church. The soldiers touched head, heart, and throat, then snapped to a stiff arm salute, their final farewell to the Jiaohaoyin. Andre remained kneeling at the altar, fulfilling the role of the eldest child, since Tanchi no longer existed. Kay and Mama walked to the family, who stood at the front but away from Murasaki. Tanchi leaned forward. Kokue cradled a baby. "You have a son, Chang," and Herod said. Tanchi worried. Kokue should be resting, too long a time for her to stand. She must have gone into labor right after they took him away. Kokue glanced up as if at the camera. She pulled the baby's blanket apart. He could see a scrunched sleeping face with a shock of black hair. She gave a small smile. Kokue had come on the chance that he might be watching the funeral. She wanted him to see his new son. Tanchi swallowed hard. Mama pressed her hands against her face and shook with sobs. Kay placed an arm around her mother. Tanchi's eyes stung, and Herod handed him a handkerchief. He scrunched it into his hand. He refused to cry in front of them. The cameras flipped back to the altar, where the priest swung incense over the urns. Andre stood. He pushed up his sleeve, bit into his wrist, and held his arm over each urn. His blood dripped onto the tops and down the sides. Andre sucked his wrist, closing the wound. He turned from the altar. "Blood is life, blood is loyalty, blood is family," he said. "Blood is life, blood is loyalty, blood is family," the congregation replied. He bowed and salaamed to them, then spoke the eulogy. Andre spoke well, weaving the themes of life, loyalty, and family into his remembrances. He ended with, "Grandfather was life, father loyalty, and grandmother family." Andre paused, glanced at Murasaki, and drew in his breath. A horrible premonition seized Tanchi. His wastrel brother had decided on some noble gesture, some statement that would get him arrested, maybe executed. "Blood is purity. Blood between brothers is the purest," Andre said. He swayed, probably had a few drinks before the ceremony to give courage or stupidity. Tanchi moaned. Andre shouted, "I will speak of elder brother," gasps from the congregation. "I will speak of esteemed excellency Kuan Tanchi. I will remember him and his many good works. I will honor him." Andre glanced at Murasaki. "I will never forget his betrayal and these murders." He strode away from the altar, down the aisle, and out of the temple. Murasaki rose, took Maru's hand, and paced to the spot Andre had vacated. She placed her son in front of her, hands on Maru's shoulders. "This is a sad time for Menendek," she said. "Emotions run high. Too much wine and whiskey make things said that are later regretted. The disgruntled guards who committed these murders are executed. These murders did not go unpunished. It is finished. With the humans circling above us, this is no time for an unjustified revenge. This is no time for the return of the fighting between clans. She gestured at the urns. Joho Chang united us. Joho Meru the first kept the peace. She placed her hand on her son's head. Kuwang Meru the second will strengthen it.
What about the crimes against our person? What about Deku? We exist! We exist! Tanshi shouted.
He couldn't take any more of her. He leapt up and punched the controls of the screen. It fizzed off. Tanshi leaned against the wall, gasping as he fought to control the sudden return of the hunger.
Feed, Enherid said beside him. She handed him a blood fruit, round and plump, deep indentations at each end.
Tanshi tore into it. She handed him another. The blood calmed him.
You know Murasaki's right, Enherid said. We can't afford civil war. The humans hunger for our Leto crystals.
Tanshi glanced at the fresh flowers arranged in a gold vase full of Leto.
We can't understand this obsession. What next? Our supply of sand?
The Police Alliance humans told us that Leto is rare, except in our solar system, where it's everywhere, Enherid said. It protects their ships when they move through hyperspace. The March, that's what they call the other human world, needs lots of Leto because their solar system is protected by a hyperspace called the Abaddon Folds. There are two nations of humans. First came the March and their ambassador, then the Peace Alliance ship.
Peace Alliance, I'm sure they are, Tanshi said.
It felt good to get back to normal and listen to
through this hyperspace.
Yes, Enherid said. We have to get their technology if we're going to survive. Lieutenant Curran's a computer talent. He secretly downloaded the plans for their ship. It'll take time to figure everything out, but we will build ones with this hyperspace. And we got a few of the new type of laser. The humans are like pigs and monkeys, unaffected by sunlight, yet dying easily from a cut. A strange and shocking creature. The March hate the Alliance. If the Alliance gave us a better trade deal and we break off with the March are sure to go to war with us. She let her words sink in. Out of habit, Tanshi examined the politics. We need more than ship plans to build for war. Money's needed, and not even a rubber stamp parliament will stand for the high taxes needed, unless the humans actually attack. Then it's too late.
The March have nothing but rough wool cloth and poor quality cotton to trade for Leto, Enherid said.
The Alliance have silk and cotton that don't wrinkle, and colorful plates that bend and won't break when dropped. They're fascinated by our porcelain and art.
Tanshi nodded. Any trading helps an economy and generates taxes. We wish to create an imperial company to sell the Leto. Then we'll have both the profit and the tax revenue.
An idea occurred to him. Andre knows porcelain, garments, fine furniture. He's good at gathering information. We should wish the army to arrest him before the Imperial Guard get to him. Try him out. The Secret Service can train him and send him away to the human worlds to control our trade.
And Herod crossed her arms. We wish? Who's we? Those Imperial orders you're giving me private pain on?
Tanshi's face twisted with anger. He opened his mouth to shout. A vision of Moma sobbing over Andre's urn crowded into his thoughts. He had to save younger brother. Tanshi swallowed his pride. For our mother's sake.
Stand at attention, Enherid said. I repeat, you giving me Imperial orders, Private Paynon? I'm os to you.
No os. Tanshi stood at attention. The lieutenant smirked at his humiliation.
Good.
Tanshi stared straight ahead. Several long minutes passed. Officers, take this recruit to his unit, Enherid said. She wasn't going to answer him. Tanshi's face fell, and she knew it. And Herod took delight in torturing him. He had lobbied
for the army, got their allocation increased, supported them from the Kuwan's private fund. In thanks, they kicked him when he was down. The two lieutenants stood up and stepped to either side of him. They walked to the door, Tanshi between them. Tanshi watched them slip on and tighten the straps on their sandals. The servant placed a new pair in front of him. Tanshi knew he could never put them on standing up. He sat down on the floor and struggled with them, his face burning with shame. The serving woman knelt down in front of him. Let me, esteemed Excellency.
No.
Tanshi bowed his head and clenched his fists. His knuckles turned white. If I may say, you have to take the sandals off and start again. Your feet are twisted in them.
Tanshi pulled out his feet and tried again.
The sandals slid on. He left the straps loose and stood up. The servant quickly buckled them, then rose. She sent him a smile. He nodded thanks.
The soldiers escorted him out the door. They took Tanchi to the surface and crossed by several dark fields where male and female units drilled. Stars crowded the sky. Pangas trees scented the airs. Lizards ran up and down the palm trees. Small jewel-colored bats swooped around some huts. Nature's beauty mocked his misery. A scruffy dog followed them to an underground barracks. The lieutenants left Tanchi alone at the bottom of the stairs. A large empty room stretched before him. Folded up futons lined the walls. Tanchi slumped down on the bottom steps and pulled off his sandals. The dog slipped up and licked his hand. Tanchi rubbed the dog's head and felt grateful for its indiscriminate love. The dog curled up at his feet. Tanchi felt exhausted. He closed his eyes. Just for a minute.
Well, things are getting more interesting, aren't they?
Yeah.
So he went from a king to having to do everything for himself. And he's kind of struggling with that a bit, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, well, imagine you're the emperor of a whole planet. And all of a sudden now you're just pretty much a nothing. They're a nothing. You're a non-person. Paynon means no one.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening.
You can't stand to wait. You can become one of our patrons. And for a few dollars, you can get the whole digital copy of the book. And don't forget to follow Gamers Illogical with their family nights. They're very enjoyable. That's my grandchildren playing games. And oh my gosh, they're funny at times. We'll have a Q&A once a month too, once we get going. And you can ask things like about the coffee ceremony and other things.
Yes. Maybe we should have a coffee ceremony ourselves.
Right now I'm having my coffee wet in my whistle.
I think we are having our coffee ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, our Twitch channel is twitch.tv at Gamers Illogical. We also stream on Facebook and YouTube. You will get updates as to when our streams are and what platform. We schedule events every week. And our Forgotten Fantasy Facebook page is... Our Facebook page is facebook.com/forgottenfantasy. And the Facebook page for Gamers Illogical is... facebook.com/gamersillogical. Our Twitter is @gamersillogical. Post any questions with an @, and you can also ask questions on the Patreon page. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, see you next week.
Take care and good health. Bye-bye now.